This reading is from John chapter 4, verse 27 to 42. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman, but no one asked, "What do you want, or why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about."
"My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, 'It's still 4 months until harvest'? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the saviour of the world."
That was beautifully read. Thank you very much, you two. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to hear from God's word. Please, Heavenly Father, help us to listen carefully and learn what it is you want us to do. Help us not to just listen, but to act. Amen. How good are you at growing things? Think of things you've planted, maybe in an allotment, and waited ages, and then they produce beautiful crops. I'm rubbish at growing things, carrots especially. The seeds are too small. You always put too many in the same hole, and when they grow, they've always got carrot fly, which means they can't be eaten. They're disgusting. Tomatoes? Anybody had success with tomatoes? Yeah, I cheat because I don't put seeds in. I use the little tiny sprouting ones. But I've had success with tomatoes. The only problem is they always get just right when we go away on holiday, and they burst and fall on the floor by the time we come back. Does anybody else have that problem? Potatoes, much, much better. Potatoes, you can get pretty much any potato you like, stick it in any bit of ground, and leave it. There is nothing you have to do until you come back and a little green sprout has come up, and then eventually that sprout dies and it looks like nothing's happened. Stick a fork in the ground and this happens. Who has that happen to them? I have that happen to me a lot, which means that potato's now a bit had it. But the rest, fantastic. I love a big pile of potatoes. While I can be confident I get a really good potato crop each year, I wonder why, when it comes to Christian things, telling other people about Jesus and then becoming Christians feels so hard. I go about my Christian life, I go to church, I pray, but at the end of each year, there don't seem to be very many new people who've become Christians. Why is that? Jesus, talking to his disciples, said, "The fields are ripe for harvest, and a crop of people are coming to eternal life." And I want to know what I'm missing. Right when Jesus meets a Samaritan woman at the well is where he teaches disciples to see how the harvest comes in. Sorry, have we got my... Oh yes, we'll come to that in a moment. What is a Samaritan? Not a Samarty, a Samaritan. A Samaritan, well, they're a group of people in Jesus' day called Samaritans. They lived in a place called Samaria, and nice people didn't go there. I don't know quite which village to name, but is that Haslingfield from here? Maybe not. Because for lots of reasons, Samaritans had a reputation for being not very nice people. But Jesus did go there. In fact, he went out of his way to go there. He went so that he could have a chat with one Samaritan woman working at getting water from a well in the middle of the day. That's why he went there. Seems a long way to go for one chat. Well, like dropping stones in water, you get a little ripple effect. And that's what he got when he had this conversation with this woman. You could say we are feeling one of the ripples right now of the conversation Jesus had with that woman. It spread all the way to us. So what happened next? It must have been an amazing conversation because John chapter 4 verse 28, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" The first thing she did after meeting Jesus was drop everything and go and tell other people about him. That's what she did. She left her water jar, rushed round to the village, banged on their doors, and said, "Something amazing has happened." What? What? Why would anybody get up in the middle of the day, because it's hot, and go off to meet somebody? What could possibly have persuaded them? She said, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did." If I met someone for the first time and they showed me that they knew what I was really like, not just on the outside, but deep down inside, all the nasty things they knew all about me on the inside, if someone knew all of them, I'd be shocked and amazed, and I'd want to know, have they been reading my emails? Have they been talking to people who know me? Have they been following me around for years? How do they know everything I ever did? Jesus knew that about this woman. And I quickly think, actually, that's none of those reasons, because Jesus knew about things she'd never told anyone and never spoken about. He knew her thoughts. They'd started off talking about water to drink, and Jesus told her that he had living water to give her, that if she took it, she would never be thirsty again. But he wasn't talking about ordinary water. He was talking about the longing we all have for something that we never seem to quite get. Some people long for real friendships, and then friends let them down. Have you had a friend let you down? Some people long for real meaning in life. And often the things we buy or make or do, they actually make us only feel good for a little bit. And then we feel bad again. Think about Christmas. Who's looking forward to fun and family and presents? Hands up. That's most of you. Think about the 10th of January and the Christmas tree has gone in the bin and the decorations have all come down and the toys' batteries have run out and the quadcopter's broken. Has that happened to anyone? Definitely happened to me, and that's going to happen this Christmas as well. It'll let you down. The woman said, "This man told me everything I ever did," and that means he knows that I'm thirsting for something and I haven't found it yet. What about you? Do you sense there's something great to be had, but every time you get your hopes up, whatever it is doesn't do the job? You want more? Well, this woman felt like that until she met Jesus. And as soon as she met Jesus, she ran off into town to get everybody to come and meet him for himself. "I've met him." The second thing she said is, "Could this be the Christ?" The Christ is God's promised rescuing king. God's made promises that he would send a king to rescue his people and to put everything that's wrong right. Could this man be God come down to earth to put everything that's wrong right? A man who knows everything about me, who might be God come to put everything right. I think I'd get out of my bed and go and find out who that was if I was told about him. So what do the women of the village do? Did you hear it in the story? They made their way out towards him. Well, remember the harvest idea, planting a potato. Here's one. I think, in fact, even that one that's got a hole in, I could plant it, and a few months later, I would get a harvest. A bit like that drop in the water, there are ripples that spread out. And the word of God spreads. How does it spread? Word of mouth. People telling other people. One woman telling another person, and almost everyone who becomes a Christian because someone else told them. Now, I want to do a little experiment here, and I'd like you to think about, and put your hand up if you can think of ways, different ways that people heard about Jesus. Now, I first heard about Jesus from someone at college. Maybe it was someone you sat next to at school, or someone you met walking a dog, or someone you got chatting to at ballet, or rugby, or on holiday, or on a train. Can you have a think about the people who told you about Jesus? And we need to put up, I heard about Jesus from, what's that? There. Hands up if you can tell me something interesting. I heard about Jesus from, and I'll point you and you can tell me your answers. I heard about Jesus from?
A youth leader.
A youth leader. I heard about Jesus from?
Australian.
An Australian? Fantastic. I heard about Jesus from?
My mother.
My mum. Brilliant. Family is a great place to hear about Jesus. You? Good. Phoebes, what was that? My dad as well. Yep. My parents. My future mother-in-law. I think that wins so far, Karina. I didn't hear. Mummy at the school gate. I love that. I love the fact that mums at school gates are talking to other people about Jesus. Anne. A teacher.
A stranger who came and knocked on my door.
That's good news. A stranger who came and knocked on your door. Lucy?
My future husband.
And one more, Phoebes. Okay, I love that. Many of the Samaritans in that town believed because of the woman's testimony, because of what she said. He told me everything I ever did. Now, I want to try something else. Have you seen one of these? Is it a Mexican wave? It's probably a rubbish picture. No, you can't see. Oh, it is. No, those are people with their hands in the air. Mexican waves start and then they move across the room, don't they? So I'd like to start with everybody on that side with your hands in the air. Go. Let's have a Mexican wave go this way. Okay, hands down. Let's have a Mexican wave go from the front. Hands up at the front. And back. Look at that. That is the message moving all the way through the room. How about this? Mexican wave in the middle that goes out to the sides. Go. I like a Mexican wave that does that. When people tell other people about Jesus, it's a little bit slower than that. But it's the message spreading out, just like a Mexican wave. Then they came out to Jesus and they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days, and because of his words, many became believers. So first off, it's because of the woman's story, and second, it's because of Jesus' words. Have you got Jesus right in front of you right now? Nope, you've got Tim. So you don't have Jesus, but what do you have? If you've got a Bible, you've got Jesus' words. So is it possible for you to believe? Yes, it is, because you've got Jesus' words. And they then said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said." Many believe because of that. "Now we've heard it for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." Well, that's the story. And remember the harvest. Just one conversation with one woman in a very, not very nice place. And lots of people became Christians. Jesus said the fields are ripe for harvest. He had that conversation with that woman. She went out to the village and lots of people came back and believed. And I bet all those Samaritans then told lots of other people. And the message got bigger and bigger and bigger. and it spread out everywhere. And we're stood here because the message has reached us. What are you going to do now that you've heard about Jesus? Are you going to keep it to yourself? Or are you going to tell other people? Let me pray for us. Please, Heavenly Father, help us to be brave and tell other people about the Saviour of the world. Amen.